Everybody. So we've been going through this book. I could only remember the short version of the title. It's with.
So short.
Yes. The line, like, I'll never remember the whole title.
Rethinking your relationship with God.
Right. Right. Very good. I should be able to remember that one. But, you know me. So we've been going through the various chapters, and we're up to chapter number 5 now. And we've gone different postures, under, over, from, and now we're doing life for God. And I'd just like to open up with a question. And the question is about false idols. As a Christian, have you ever experienced having false idols in your life?
Yes.
And what kind of false idols have you had? Or have you seen?
Mostly it's been my wife.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I elevate her beyond where she should be sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mine is financial.
Financial?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I grew up like not missing anything. Having what I wanted. And so sometimes I started to feel like I had to make money.
Right.
To survive in this world. And, no. I need God more than
right.
Yeah.
Anybody
money
else?
Is good,
or?
But it's not, should not be.
Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Work.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, did these false idols that you had, do you think they started out being false idol, or there was this kind of slow drip and they kind of gravitated towards that? Okay. So, what's that?
No, it started to grow.
Yeah. After a while, I say we kind of lose self-awareness a little bit, don't we? Mm-hmm. We kind of get sucked in. You know, as when I read this chapter, what I remember, or what I got out of the chapter, or what I thought about, was the time in the book of Numbers where the Israelites were being attacked by these serpents, right? And they constructed a bronze, like a statue of a serpent on a pole. And whenever the serpents would come out to prevent from being bitten, they would look at the pole, right?
Right.
And it was meant for a good thing, wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
But what happened in the book of Kings, do you remember?
Started worshiping.
Yeah. Finally, a good king came along, Hezekiah, and he says, you're bringing offerings to the statue.
Wow.
And not worshiping God. So they got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this chapter reminded me of, just something even that was meant to be good can turn into a false idol.
Right.
So this chapter focuses a lot on the mission. The mission that we have. And God has given us, Jesus has given us, died for, the purpose that we're able to have. And what kind of complications or what kind of things could go wrong with it? You're given such a great purpose. How could that be perverted?
We can think that we are the ones who are being able to complete the purpose on our own, and not looking to God, and like you said, we begin to drift to the point to say that thinking that I'm doing this on my own and not by the grace and mercy of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the purpose can become like the barometer of my joy. Mm-hmm. Like if I don't feel like I'm being like effective in my purpose, then my joy is taken away, and really my joy should be coming from just my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Julia. Now we may start looking at the results from supposedly our purpose, and using those results as a way to validate who we are or how well our relationship with God is going.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In chapter 5, the author, he states the different postures, and I'd just like to read this for a second. It says, life under God believes divine will is the center of the cosmic apple. Okay? Life over God says that natural law or principles are at the core. And it says life for God, cosmic apple would reveal a mission at the core. So the cosmic apple kind of stuck in my mind. What do you think that he meant by the cosmic apple?
He's referring back to Isaac Newton.
Oh, right.
And Isaac Newton supposedly discovered gravity when he saw an apple fall or when it fell on his head. And
yeah, that's right. That's
different
right.
Stories.
Yeah.
But he made some kind of posit that gravity is at the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then it reminds me, I mean, when the author uses the apple in the core and the center, and he's talking about what makes things tick, what's most important.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I read it, you know, I forgot about how you talked about Isaac Newton. But for me, when I read it, I thought about the scripture about, you know, being the apple of his eye. That's what I thought about, you know.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, God calls us people. He calls his people to be, you know, the apple of his eye. In Deuteronomy and in Psalm 17, verse 8. And in Proverbs 7, chapter 7, verse 2, it says, guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. So what is God communicating to us, I mean, in these scriptures? And I'd like to go over these three scriptures that I've asked Jason, Patricia, and Richard to read. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42. Oh, Jason, you want to read that one?
As Jesus and the disciples were on their way, he came in a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, didn't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from you.
Amen. So what is this? What does the scripture say to you?
Focus is on the wrong place. It's on the wrong thing.
Uh-huh.
It's much more important to be with the person you're serving than the service itself.
Right.
In this case, Jesus.
Yeah.
Being with Jesus is more important than serving Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants.
I get it from it's like we can be worried about the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of studying the right thing, you know, we're going about the wrong way about it.
Right. Now, if you want to be excellent in something, for example, I remember I was like an usher, and a person was very particular because he was in the Marines, right? And he was very particular about how things should be done. I mean, is there something wrong with pointing out, you know, there's certain things that should be done the right way, or is it?
Mm-hmm. We require that for us to correct one another in how we maybe even communicating in a way that is not Christ-like.
Absolutely.
Doing things that, you know, behavior things that are not like Christ. You know, that's, you know, I think of Jesus calling Peter.
Right.
Get, you know, like, away from me, Satan, because he was saying things that were contrary to the faith that he should. That when he said, you're the Son of God, but now you're saying, I'm going to defend you? You know, those two things just don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stuff like that. We can correct one another.
Right.
Yeah, but not to the point where we are picking you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also think there's a difference between the commands that Jesus calls us to follow and individual preferences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if I'm responsible for organizing these chairs before worship service, and that's my responsibility, then unless I'm given direction by somebody with the authority to give, I'm going to organize them the way I want to organize them. Right, that's my preference.
Mm-hmm.
Others might say, oh, I would put them in a square instead of a circle. You know, nothing wrong with that, just not my preference. And since I'm the person responsible for doing it, I did it my way. If the group said, you know, oh, we prefer to have a square, and then I fight and say, no, no, the only way we can have worship services is if we sit in a circle.
Right.
Now that's me elevating my preference
mm-hmm.
above, you know, all of you, and ultimately above the service I'm trying to make to God. So it's trying to figure out, like, when is a standard something that's set by God, or a standard something that's set by man?
Mm-hmm. 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 Amen.
I think it's really good, and I think as a women's ministry, we've figured out how to trust each other with, like, you're going to be responsible for this, and I'm going to trust how you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even like it's going to be okay, and it's really encouraging when we're able to get to that point. And I'm just talking about, you know, like the chair arranging example,
right.
Mm-hmm. Not the example of, you know, you're clearly being ungodly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah. But anyway. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I think your question was really directed more toward
mm-hmm.
our service for God or God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the one we're serving. Not we're not serving the word, we're not serving the process of the church,
mm-hmm.
we're serving God.
Right.
And He wants us to have that focus.
Right.
And that was my thought too, is you know, being more focused on what God wants us to do in terms of doing the, you know, doing it God's way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure we're following God's way of doing things and not getting off on a tangent path and not following that.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, like Gloria, somebody was using the chair example, because that's personal preference. And some things we are allowed to do personal preference that doesn't get us off the path, you know, the godly path.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are some things we do personal preference that will get us off the godly path.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stay focused on what it is that God would have us to do and what is righteous. What does the word say about the, you know, about that issue?
Right.
And I think that's where my thought went. I don't know if I understood your question correct, but that's kind of where my mind went today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think when we serve, we also should show each other a lot of grace as part of our service as well, you know.
Yeah.
Because we all need it, don't we?
Yes.
But, all right, would you like to read, is it John 15?
John 15,
yep.
Verses 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give people a chance to get there. Remain in me as I am. also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine.
Hey everybody, today's verse of the day.
Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Hmm. And what are your thoughts about abide in me or remain in me?
First of all, I love how Jesus uses these illustrations that are like, that kind of make it like as plain as day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course the branch can't bear fruit if it's not connected to the vine. Like, you know, and I just think, you know, it should be so obvious, like as obvious as this, right? That, you know, if we're not, you know, relying on God, you know, to serve him, you know, it might look like we're bearing fruit, but really it's not, you know, true fruit. And I guess, you know, the thing I think about is, well, what does that look like in a practical sense? Like, how do I put that into practice? I mean, I can say that I'm remaining connected to the vine, but it's like, how do I really know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that can be confusing sometimes, you know, where we're, you know, we can deceive ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a good question. How would you answer that?
I think that in to extend what Julie's saying, to me, that's where the community comes into place. Community,
mm-hmm.
family, friendship, relationships come into place. Because if we call ourselves, you know, princes and princesses in the kingdom of God, then in the kingdom of God, there's a decorum that's expected. And so, and if we all know what that is, that's how we become the community that God calls us to be. Because now we truly are operating in a living organism that is for him,
mm-hmm.
for his glory. Meaning we all know what we're supposed to look like and be acting like and behaving like, and we're calling each other higher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because when you think of Jeremiah 29:11,
mm-hmm.
you know, that letter was for the community. When you seek me, with all your heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically we're going to find him together. Not individually, yes, but as we strive to do that together, we become that powerful nation of God here in
yeah.
the earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I figured out an answer to my question.
Okay.
if I am, I do think one definite gauge of whether I am in the vine or not is if I'm at peace. Because I think a lot of times if I'm striving for something, but I feel an unrest, then I'm not really in the vine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm trying to do it on my own strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my I'm sorry.
There's not really a 100% way of measuring your relationship with God,
mm.
unless you take. You know, Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Because we all want to measure. Well, that's kind of where
yeah,
we are.
Do.
We're measurers.
Mm-hmm.
Measure, you know, Jason's taller than me. Scott's, everybody's taller than me. But we can measure our relationship with other people. How do I feel put off when somebody asks me for a ride? Do I do, you know? It's not even about whether you did it or not. Are you feeling put off?
Mm.
Because of it, that our feelings toward brothers and sisters especially is a way we can know if we are close to God. Mm-hmm. If we're loving God properly, then improperly, I don't know if that's the right thing, term for loving, but if we're loving God fully, mm-hmm. we'll be loving His people too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Just remembering the fruits of the Spirit. You know, just like how do you determine, you know, if someone is a doctor, they went through medical school, they went through the training, you know, they did all that work, they become a doctor. That's a sign of being a doctor, you know, to go through the training and do the work caring for people. And if you, you know, as a disciple of Jesus, you're supposed to have the Spirit in you. And to determine that, you would have the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have the joy, you'd have the love, you'd have, loving kindness and all that stuff that is associated with the Spirit. If you, having envy or jealousy or, not loving your neighbor, there's a good sign that you're not, where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do they don't grow wine here, do they, in Mississippi?
You can't grow wine.
You can't grow wine here? You
can't grow wine anywhere.
Oh.
You need to grow grapes.
Oh, grapes, sorry. Grapes.
I think they are.
Has anybody ever been to a vineyard before? Mm-hmm. My parents retired in Central California, and it's a beautiful sight when all the grapes are there. Mm-hmm. But they're never isolated. Mm-hmm. They don't have grapes isolated by themselves, yeah. They're all, connected to these beautiful, wonderful vines. Mm-hmm. They're going deep into the ground.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great picture.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But so the last scripture, Ephesians 2, verse 8, 10, Patricia.
Well, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amen. So, good work is a result, right? Not the root of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
It means we do... we serve others, we serve God as a response to His love for us,
mm-hmm.
not as a way to acquire that love or grace. There's nothing we can do to develop a relationship with God by our works.
Mm-hmm.
All we can do is accept the offer of reconciliation through Jesus Christ and the faith He gives us. We can't even generate faith on our own.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says mm-hmm. He gives us faith. So we accept the faith, we accept the opportunity for reconciliation, and then we build from that relationship that we did establish. Mm-hmm. We find ways to serve Him as He directs us. But, because, as Don mentioned, we like to measure, we're always wanting to try to somehow make it seem like we are worthy of the grace we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. And sometimes we can think all of the work that we do makes us somehow worthy. If I have a little role, nobody else can do my role because this is my service to God.
Mm-hmm.
And if that role is taken away, then somehow I'm less valuable to Him.
Right.
Amen.
So I think it really has to be a clear understanding that what I'm doing is because mm-hmm. this is a way for me to express my love to my Father, who loves me whether I can do anything or not.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I brought it up last week, but it still applies. Matthew 7, I think it's 21, when people said that Did we not, in your name, perform miracles and drive out demons and this and that? And Jesus said, simply away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you.
Right.
And the works, the value, all that stuff, it can only be found in a relationship with God. If we're doing this whole thing about life for God, it's very easy to miss out on the relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so easy to turn the scriptures into a to-do list.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, relationships are easily frayed, you know, and even our relationship with God could be frayed. How do we restore our relationships with our Father if we feel we're frustrated, we're in sin? What do we do?
Times of refreshing, the mm-hmm. Book of Acts, you know, and how do we get there? You know, the repentance, meaning we accept that we have done something against God,
mm-hmm.
and ask for forgiveness. You know, and that's a continual thing until we go home, that there's always going to be something to apologize, to ask forgiveness for, either from one another or from God himself. I mean, and mostly would be from God, because if I sin against you, the scripture tells me it's against God.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it just kind of staying in tune with that we never 100% there until we get there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
There's one thing, is like, one person said to me, it's like, God never walks away from you. You walk away from God.
Mm-hmm.
God is always there waiting for you to come back. So
mm-hmm.
there's
mm-hmm.
nothing you can do to say, like, rebrink his love. His love is still there.
Mm-hmm.
He just go back and take his hand.
It's mm-hmm. like the prodigal son.
Right.
Just turn back and he'll see you. And he'll eagerly welcome you back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As will the church, if it's right.
Yeah.
I think of the prodigal son and how it took him a minute to come to his senses.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, you know, when I was stuck in Florida and I didn't know how I was going to get home, I mean, I was emotionally exhausted because, I mean, I couldn't get home. I couldn't rent a car. I couldn't get another flight. And what my husband said to me is, he said, you know, sometimes we just have to not be in such a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for myself, like if I'm, you know, frustrated about something, I know my heart is bad or whatever, it's like I can, and I mean, I wish that I could just repent just like that. But I feel like sometimes I have to take the time to come to my senses, you know, and come to my senses in a right way rather than just going through the motions of what might seem repentant, but where my heart isn't necessarily truly there. And, you know, just to kind of wrestle in that, like, and to, you know, be patient, almost like to be patient with myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I think pretty much we're, probably most of us are our own worst critics, you know. And God gives us much more grace than we give ourselves, probably most of the time.
Yeah.
But,
they say if someone is struggling and you want them to live, you know, with God, not for God, what kind of input would you give that person? What kind of advice would you give them?
I think initially, you, like Job's friends, initially they did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just sat there with him mm-hmm. and listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we need to give ourselves that space to hear what we are saying. Listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And silence on your part sometimes provides that space.
Yes.
But you don't hear and those words bounce back at you, then something, you know, we blow it sometimes when we think we have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, well, if you read this or if you do this, like Donald said earlier, there's no perfect way of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I know for me, it worked, you know, let me talk and I hear, and it's like a mirror comes up, and there you are. And it's like, ooh, does that look like Christ? Isn't that, you know, does it sound like Christ? And sometimes it's, no, no.
Right.
Yeah, so sometimes just being there for someone
mm-hmm.
is good enough.
Yes.
Just being there.
Yeah.
And I remember Gloria sharing with me once that, you know, if we're trying to help someone, whether they're a believer or not, you know, we hold out that word of life, whatever it is, and then we let it go. And we can obviously revisit it, you know, but I just think, you know, we can be like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, come on now. You know, but
and to leave space for the Spirit to move.
Right.
Yeah.
Because even outside of those who are in a relationship with God, God is moving.
Yeah.
In their hearts, we can be too quick to want to see a result from whatever mm-hmm. we've been trying to help people with,
mm-hmm.
and just God is working behind the scenes. Our Father's always working,
mm-hmm.
and so, and especially for His children. So even if we don't see it, He's working,
mm-hmm.
And just having faith and confidence in that, as opposed to, you know, we pointed you to the Word. You need to change it, you know.
Right.
Repentance needs to happen, but God
yeah.
is working it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to talk about a different way of. This challenge we have about life for God, I think we, you know, sometimes, you know, can be very, there are times when the pendulum can swing one way where it's like, you have to do all these things to show that you're faithful and you're in a relationship with God. And then it can swing the other way and say, oh, I don't need to do anything. I just need to be with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we have to be attentive to the scripture we just read. He has given us,
mm-hmm.
He has identified works of service
mm-hmm.
for all of us. Are we about those acts of service?
Mm-hmm.
And what they are will vary for each of us, so there's not a checklist there. It's really just being about the Holy Spirit, you know, letting the Holy Spirit lead us. What uniquely am I equipped to do, Lord,
mm-hmm.
that maybe Nora isn't, or that you called me to do that maybe you didn't call her to do? There are things we all have to do as disciples, right? We follow God, you know, we're all part of trying to help other people to know Him. But these acts of service, just being about those, I think are really important. And you know, that grace that He has given us, that is not about you working to be close, working to be in a relationship, also means, though, that we have that, we should be compelled by His love
mm-hmm.
to want to do those acts of service for Him.
Yeah.
And be seeking that out, not just kind of waiting for things to happen to us. And so, just something to think about as we're trying to find the balance of doing what is right because we for the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
which is because we love God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, I get burdened with whatever. And I think that for some reason, I don't turn to God right away. I don't turn to this to scripture. I try to resolve on my own. The Bible seems very heavy sometimes, you know, just picking it up, you know, and reading it. But if, and I overwhelm myself sometimes, just the thought of how I'm going to overcome this feeling that I have. But if I just take it a little bit at a time, then it's like a hook, you know, on a fish. God reels you in. And I forget sometimes that how much he changed my life just when I read the Bible with these people that studied with me, how quickly it changed my life. And I think just we spend time in meditation and reflection each morning, even if it's just for 5 minutes, that could really make a difference. It really can. So, amen.
The John 15 that we read, the word abide, he said abide in me. While we were reading, I looked up the meaning, and it one of the meanings has a sentence. It says to continue to be in the presence.
Right.
That's kind of the goal. We're always trying, but we're not always in the presence in our own heart and mind.
Yeah. You
know, when I slam my thumb with the hammer, I can forget that I'm in the presence of God or Jesus.
Right.
But it's the decision to continue to be present.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we grow. In relationship with God.
Yeah. Being with God is challenging sometimes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we've all had transition in our lives, whether we're moving or going to another job or transitioning from being healthy to sick or sick to healthy. All that transition is very difficult. And it's that's where I think Jesus comes in. And he's kind of like, he walks us through the transition. You know. But, anyway. All right. Let's pray for the cup and...